All right, guys, so today we're going to take a look at how the early church was able to experience metanoia to change their mind in a huge way.
And this decision was so important that if they hadn't, we probably would have had a different Christian church today.
Wow.
Welcome to Cross Connection, and I'm excited about the study today because
yeah.
we continue one of yes. the crucial chapters of the Gospel of Acts, as we call it, the Book of Acts. And we're joined by Diego and Claudia. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And thank you for joining us. And again, you can always watch us and make sure to stop and read chapter 15.
Right. That's what we're in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a second part of a two-parter. We were exploring this huge decision, the issue of Gentiles and circumcision, but really something that really changed how they view their role in the salvation of people, the church, and now we're continuing that.
So there was a difficult problem. So because circumcision is the key for Judaism, this is what they were standing for.
Yes.
This is what they were willing to die for.
Right. For millennia.
Right. For millennia, exactly. Yes. For at least 2,000 years before this was happening.
They were circumcised, and the rest of the world was uncircumcised. Mm-hmm. It was their worldview. It was how they viewed themselves and other people.
So, and then at this Jerusalem Council, if we look at the map of the Mediterranean, we travel all the way to Jerusalem, which is this little dot, as you see, so we're in Jerusalem again. So this is the first Jerusalem Council.
Okay.
So Jerusalem Council. So before we open our scripture, let us pray. And Diego, could you lead us in
prayer? I'll be happy to. Lord, once again, we thank you for coming before your presence. Lord, as we open and study your word, we humbly ask for the guidance of your spirit, and we pray for those who are watching and listening to us. We pray the spirit will also come into their homes, into their cars, wherever they are, and may we all be changed from within. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 Okay.
Amen.
Excellent. So what we see that the character of James plays a very crucial role in this council.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
James, the brother of Jesus, he says listening to Peter and listening to the council, he says, okay, so now we need to make a decision. Let's make sure that the gospel is not difficult for the world.
Right. Mm.
And that's why let's come up with these four little elements that we will just write and send to everybody. Yeah. And look at the response. And we're in Acts, second half of chapter Acts, verses 22 onwards. And let's read verse 22 again. Verse 22. And Sergio, could you read verse 22?
Yes, this is chapter 15, verse 22. It says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren.
Okay, so they decided to send this letter through whom? Through two men.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and
Barnabas.
So what are those
characters? Let's take a quick character profile look at Paul and Barnabas. Those of you who have been sticking with us on the Cross Connection Acts, we know them very well at this point. We know that they're partners in ministry. They're traveling throughout the Greco-Roman world. They're traveling, ministering to the Gentiles. They're also then called to Jerusalem, as we saw last episode, to address whether Gentiles should be circumcised. That issue has now been resolved. And we'll see actually at the end of our study that this will be the dissolving of their partnership. So we'll see them together.
Okay, so but what we see is interesting because the church is actually experiencing metanoia. So what is the meaning of the word metanoia? The church is experiencing metanoia, and what is it?
Change of mind.
Mm-hmm. So why is it so crucial for us to remember that we need to experience change of mind? The church, of all things, we usually talk, you need to repent.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not about the church. We talk about the world.
You need to repent.
Yes.
But what we see in chapter 11, chapter 10, chapter 11, Peter needed to repent, chapter 10, 11, church needed to repent, 15, church needed to repent, and so forth.
Well, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that we've seen this in the Gospels, as studying all four of them, that there's two main things associated with this. Firstly, that we cannot experience the gospel. We cannot receive the gospel without metanoia. We can only receive the gospel when we have our minds changed. And secondly, this is a change that Jesus himself called us to make daily.
Yes.
Meaning once I read reached certain status level in this club of my church.
I've made it. Yeah,
I'm at level 15. Yeah. Now I don't need to have metanoia anymore. That's not the case. Every single day of your life, we need to have our minds changed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only secret societies have those degree things, right? That you have accomplished something, right? The church is not. That's not what it is.
Yes.
And that continues. Paul brings that back again. And so do not be conformed to this world or the things of this world, but by the renewal of your minds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is a process. So again, for anyone who is watching, no matter where you are, you have to constantly be growing.
Yes.
If you're not growing, you're dead.
Yes.
You're stuck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's an awesome spiritual habit that we see within the entire book of Acts, right? Mm-hmm. Is that there's this notion that you must be a constant learner of Christ, constant learner of the Word, right? Yeah. And so if I'm constantly learning, then that means I'm going to come to a point where I realize I've got to change my mind about something.
Yes. That's such a cool, I'd never thought of it that way, that the book of Acts is about those people that were willing to experience change.
Yeah. Right.
These people like the Pharisees that were not willing to change, we don't hear about them. Who knows what happened to them? Yeah. Who cares? But Saul went a huge change. Peter underwent a huge change. James, as you pointed out in our last study, huge change from how he viewed Jesus originally. These are the people who experienced change.
And it's interesting how the early church was called in the beginning just the followers of the way.
Yes.
What is the way? The way is a movement.
Yes.
Correct.
They're so defined by their movements.
Then you change.
Yeah.
So if it's a constant movement. So the Christianity is a constant movement. If we do not move forward, then we just die.
And that's the state. If you look into the churches of especially North American parts of Europe, they estimate that like 95% of churches are dying. 95%. And if you do a survey through church growth, you do realize that one of the main components why churches are dying, because they're not willing to change.
Wow.
To change. And they have achieved that 15th degree or something, thing. Yeah. We don't need to do anything else. No, why should we change?
Right.
The people, the world needs to change. We're fine in a little flock here going to heaven. But guys, you got it completely
wrong. So what is the lesson that we learned from the book of Acts? You see, we don't trust the book of Acts. We come to the surveys nowadays.
Right.
But it's the book of Acts, because if you do not change, the kingdom is not preached.
But I think that's the lesson, is that we have this choice. Are we going to choose to stay entrenched in just enforcing all of our existing doctrines, or at least how we view them, and all the existing traditions and everything, keeping it exactly as it is? Fine, you can make that choice, but you're making the choice to die.
Yes.
And if, or you can make the choice to experience metanoia, to change and experience
you sign
growth.
Your death
because,
decree.
Yes. Because when we come to the gospel can never ever not challenge a person.
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
If there's something that doesn't challenge you, then there is something wrong.
Not the gospel.
Right.
It's not the gospel. Whatever you have, it's not the gospel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because my knowledge is infinite. I am human. I cannot know everything.
Yes.
And the moment that our communities, our leaders, we come to this place where it's like, I don't need to know anything else. Mm-hmm. I know everything. I've read it all. Oh, I don't need to change my mind about anything.
Yes.
It's like, you're completely misunderstanding. You're completely mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. We are set in our ways.
Yes.
It's got to take the spirit.
And the older you get, the more difficult it looks like for me. It is what I feel, to change.
You're getting old, right? Yeah, you're getting old. I'm sorry, Olga.
But then I realized that this is the greatest gift that I can give myself.
But it's why you must be born again.
To start getting
old, to get young again.
Daily renewal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
By being born again, I can start changing again.
Right.
Here's the question. Because sometimes we can be it's very easy to change when you see, the world is changing, so let me change in accordance to the world.
No, really. That's a good point.
Okay, what does it mean? So if you say
it means, like we talked about in the previous episode, right? Setting Christ as our living doctrine.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Setting the Holy Spirit as our set counsel so that everything that we do, we are funneling through the example and the standard of Jesus Christ. And every idea, every movement, every suggestion is all inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Just think of this. Everything that everything there is truth has always been truth and will always be truth.
But
nothing changes on that aspect.
Yeah.
But the way we practice things, the way we go about things, and we will be challenged, because sometimes what we think is true, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big mind shift.
Yeah, no. So this is good, guys. Honestly, you're really like blowing my mind right now. And so we just need to take a break for me to collect myself. But we'll be right back soon. We'll see you soon. All right. right, we're back. And Oleg, I love the point that you made when we closed the last segment of Cross Connection. We're talking about how, yes, we need to change. We need to experience metanoia, but let's not have it be about just, whatever worldview is in vogue right now.
Whatever
popular ideas out there, let's just make our church reflect that. No, our church needs to reflect the way of Jesus.
Yeah, and this is what, Claudia, what you were saying is just we need to look through at anything through what? Through the prism of
Christ.
Jesus
Christ. Christ. Yes.
And look what happens actually in the church. We have this example, this great example, verses 28 and 29.
Yeah.
29. So, Claudia, could you read these verses?
Sure. So it says, for it seemed good. Oh, yeah, this is good. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well.
And then farewell.
Farewell.
This is it.
Farewell. That's it.
Yeah. So, but keep it simple.
But look what happens here. It's not just my decision to change. Oh, let's just change because we like to change. Yes. We like to move or whatever. So, no, in this case, what we see something different. It says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By then the way, to us, because we are aligned with the Holy Spirit.
We better be.
To lay upon and so forth. Yeah. So what lesson can we learn?
So again, I think we don't set any standards. Yes. The Bible set standards.
Yes.
Just
correct.
Think about it. The standards are there. Right. You cannot bend them. You cannot. They are there, and there are guidelines, as you said. Jesus Christ is our goal.
Yes.
But as we move along with things, there are things that, you know what, maybe we can do this a little bit differently. And and that's the core.
Right.
What we're talking about here. But listen again, the church will move on. The Spirit will move on. If you're not willing to be part of this, you will be watching the train go, and you're going to be off the train. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think what you see here, too, in verse 29, is these four things that have been listed are really principles or values about disciplining our spirit and then disciplining the body.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Very great
And
points,
disciplining the spirit and disciplining the body are essential in following Christ.
Mm-hmm. Self-control.
Yeah. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm.
It's powerful. These are all things that either relate to false idols, to being sexually immoral, or to carnage.
Even being associated with idolatry.
Yes.
Because you have to understand the context of the first century. If you're eating food that is given to idols, with blood and everything else, that was something that blood has life in it.
Yes.
So there's the mentality of you eating something, you are being associated with another god. So those things, abstain from it completely.
Let people know you are a Christian.
You are different.
And don't give any confusion.
Exactly. Yeah. You are different. You will walk in the marketplace by what you carry in your arms. They know you are a Christian.
Oh. Wow. Yes. So, but what we see here too is because they have the reason that we've got this list, right, if we remember, is because we have nixed circumcision for the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And circumcision is that covenant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have nixed that for the Gentiles simply because Christ is what is keeping our covenant with God.
Yes.
So because Christ is keeping our covenant, what we then do is we have to worship Christ and God. And so there are things that will better assist us in our worship of
absolutely.
God.
Yes.
And there
Amen.
Are things that if we do not do them, then we are not worshiping God. And that's what this list is about. This list is about worship, and that's why it's
honoring. This is very good, because this list is also actually the list of integrity as well. In what sense? Look, let's read verse 21. We are going back. And this is what James is presenting this list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason that he explains why he presents this very list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
List. Mm-hmm. So, Sergio, could you read verse 21?
Yes. Verse 21 says, "For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath."
So he says, okay, so if you read Moses, the law of Moses, which is basically Pentateuch, the Torah, you will see that these four elements are present there.
They are. Mm. They are.
So if you come to the church, a Gentile comes to the church or synagogue, and he listens to church or any place where the scripture is read, and he listens to these elements, he doesn't see that they align with what the apostles actually presented.
Right.
So what is happening today, even today, if we see that our change is not in line with the scripture, then it can be a disaster.
Yes,
because
yes.
it's not integrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Integrity is continuing being in line with the Scripture, because the Scripture and the Holy Spirit tells us.
Yeah. Wow.
Truth will always be truth.
Right.
Yes.
But, no matter what.
But, you know, there are many ways to interpret what my truth may be my truth. Yeah. And you may see the truth differently. And here we have, you know, what you read in verse 28. It said, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, and to us." We are not just left with words that I can see my viewpoint in and you can see your viewpoint in.
Right.
The Holy Spirit guides us and helps us to come into an understanding of what that is, and that is how we can be unified.
Okay, so let's just see the importance of our decisions. Hmm. Look how important our decisions are.
Come on.
This decision actually was because of this decision, the church started growing rapidly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because of this decision, the Gentiles were accepted, because circumcision basically just nullified.
You know, I love what you're saying, because I trust me, it's not written in the Bible, but I can assume and believe that there were those this church is going to tank.
Yeah.
This church is going to die. You know what they're doing? They're not
following.
They wiped
the dust off their feet and left.
And they're leaving their church. Now, I wonder, in our churches and our organizations, wherever we are there decisions that we are holding the fort down, but not really? We are holding the church hostage from its explosive growth. And that's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit led them. I go back again. You cannot... you cannot hold the dawn, or how do they say, you cannot keep the dawn. Sun will rise.
Hold back the dawn. Yeah.
Hold back the dawn. Yeah. The Spirit will continue to move.
Yes.
And if we're not part of this team that is moving along and preaching the gospel, sister, brother, you'll be watching from behind, and you're going to be left out.
And we see where we are in the story of the book of Acts. We've already seen that Paul and Barnabas, even though it was a contentious issue at first, they go to preach to the Gentiles, and those same Gentiles start sending money back to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And they start to fuel what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
this
has been proven. The debate has been proven. Is this going to hurt us, or is it going to help us? The Gentile experiment, opening yourself up to accepting more people experiment, worked to the church's benefit, and so that it could grow and thrive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, what we even see in 30 and 31 is that the word encouraged them.
Okay.
And so a lot of times, the very things that we're trying to use to constrict people in their spiritual growth is discouraging them.
So let's read these verses, because they're crucial. So verses 30 and 31, could you read these verses?
So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch.
So it's Barnabas and Paul.
Yes.
And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter.
Mm-hmm.
When they, speaking of the Gentiles, read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement.
Okay, this is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
They still had these limitations.
Right.
These four limitations. But they rejoiced because it was encouraging. So they were... our decisions...
Wow.
End up in encouragement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or are our decisions destructive?
I think that's powerful, because it made sense to them. And I go back again and bring this topic again. Are we as leaders in different levels of organizations, are we holding the new progress?
Yes.
Are we trying to hold hold back the dawn?
Yes.
And sometimes we linger around, and sometimes the reason why our organization, institution, church, whatever we are, does not move forward is because of its own leaders.
But even beyond church growth, are we discouraging the very people that we're preaching to?
Yes, that's powerful. Yes.
The very individuals that we want to accept Jesus Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Are we discouraging them to the point where they're saying, you know what? I don't know if I can live up to this. I don't know if I even want to be in this anymore, let alone bring someone else
into it.
This is beautiful. This
powerful.
Is just
very powerful.
Very powerful. And we
see how
Barnabas and Paul, they actually delivered this message.
Yes.
But then the following incident that is recorded by Luke in the book of Acts is incredible. Because Barnabas and Paul, they actually dissolved their party.
Yes, they will.
Wow.
Why, we will discover after this break. So stay with us. Welcome back to Cross Connection Acts. And it's exciting what we see, what we discover. So in Book of Acts chapter 15, it's a crucial chapter.
Yeah.
Circumcision, this doctrine that they hold on to. Mm. Now they challenge themselves and they say, you know what? For the sake of the gospel, we need to forego it.
Yes. And I'm just bringing this up. Paul, he always said that circumcision is important, but the circumcision of the...
heart.
Of the heart. Yes. And he brought a whole new meaning to it.
Because when we look at any doctrine, we need to understand the meaning. And then only after we understand the meaning, we will say, you know what? The doctrine itself doesn't make any sense if we don't understand the meaning.
Of course.
And the meaning through Jesus.
Right. And I love how we ended just our last segment before the break. We talked about when the Gentiles received it, they rejoiced. Yes. And it was an encouragement. And I think we see what the gospel is. The gospel is a challenge for people in power.
Yes.
Wow.
People in power have a hard time with the gospel, even people in Christian power. Oh, yes. But it's always an encouragement to those who are on the fringes, to those who are on the outside, those who are unsure whether or not they belong. It's always an encouragement
to them. I like what Yusuf just said during the break. We need to challenge ourselves and people around us and ask this question. Is the decision that we make an encouragement to those who we deliver this decision?
Absolutely. It's vital. We need to ask it of ourselves. And frankly, if you're a church leader or anyone in position of where you can be an encouragement or be a dejection or discouragement to someone else, challenge yourself. Think, is this an encouragement, what I'm doing? Yeah. All of our decisions should be filtered.
And let me just say this because I've experienced this. I've dealt with several different leaders, and I've met leaders who are very unhealthy and toxic to a church. Mm. But I did see the Spirit moving their hearts. There was a change, a real change, like real meaningful change. So no matter, you may be a stumbling block by now, but man, by the grace of God, God can change people. He's still in that business.
But so let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for ourselves.
For ourselves.
Because in humility,
we
can come to these conclusions and say, you know what, let's change our minds.
Amen.
Yes. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to do so.
Amen.
Okay, so the next incident is actually very surprising.
Because
here is a council. We just read about this council. And this council could end up in complete separation of the church. Mm-hmm. The destruction of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they
yeah.
decided to actually remain in unity. Uh-huh. This is what we see
That's
in chapter 15.
Mm-hmm. No.
But what we see next is actually Paul and Barnabas, two friends who were always together, stop being in unity in this world. Because, I mean, not in uniformity, they are unity.
They part ways.
Okay, so what is the story, Sergio? Well, what do we see?
Basically, we see that there's a bit of a dispute that erupts between them, particularly over the person of John Mark, who we think is who wrote the Gospel of Mark.
Yes.
And Barnabas feels that they should bring him along, and Paul has some issues with that
because he's
a slacker and he wasn't reliable. Yes. Thankfully, he got his act together later and wrote a great gospel. But John Mark was kind of a slacker, apparently, up until then. He didn't want him. And apparently, it was so contentious that they actually stopped being partners at that point.
So do you see, it's very peculiar that this incident is recorded alone with this incident about the council.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke specifically, he decides to record it.
Yeah, being faithful, truthful.
It could have been omitted.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So why do you think he chooses to include this?
I think he chooses to include it because I think it's important for us to understand that sometimes conflict results in separation. And separation is sometimes necessary for elevation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Great point.
We see that, right?
We need to tweet it, actually.
We'll tweet it on the cross-connection account.
Conflict is necessary for separation is necessary for elevation.
Yes, separation is necessary for elevation. Remember this.
And I think that we even see this with Paul and Barnabas, right? When they separate, we get the preservation and the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And so it is of greater benefit that they do not remain together.
Right.
And so the conflict, I think many of us leaders need to kind of sit and actually think, okay, is the disagreement that me and Diego are having, is this a disagreement that we need to make one of us needs to make a compromise on for the benefit of our relationship and for the benefit of the gospel?
Right.
Or does it benefit the gospel more if we separate?
We see
with the council that it benefited the council greater to remain in relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they could not separate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for institutions as well, right? Even though there might be conflict within particular institutions, that does not mean that it is of greater benefit for the gospel for you to separate.
Just conflict in of itself, it's not bad.
Right.
Because you only are going to change and learn and grow if you experience some sort of resistance to move.
Yes.
You do it with your body, with muscles, anything. You got to experience resistance to grow. Now, but I think the important point here is this. They're fighting over a little thing.
Yes.
Like just Joe Mark. So, but they're not discussing about a major thing.
Right.
No.
Was Jesus the Son of God?
No, nothing like this.
Right.
So, I mean, they're still in unity. Yes. They're still preaching the gospel, as you said. They're going their different ways, literally different parts of the world, but they're still doing, they're still united. I think that's the point. An organization, when it reaches about 150, 160th anniversary, they began becoming more institutionalized. Right. And now you know the mission is to support the structure and not the other way around here. The whole structure is to support the mission.
Yes.
And I think we can learn from this lesson, even though we may have different views, we may go part ways, but if our mission is still the same, preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes to this world, we will be fine.
So Christianity is not disagreement proof.
No, absolutely not. And
no.
I think that, you know, to be quite frank, I agree with you to an extent. I agree with you to the point of institutions. But I do think that what they're arguing about is not minor, simply because who you partner with in ministry is really important. The individuals that you have close to you are really important. And if Paul really felt strongly in his spirit that he was like, man, the Holy Spirit is telling me that I don't need to be anywhere with John
Mark. I can't work with this guy.
I cannot work with Sergio, but I have to.
That's why we're on opposite ends of this table.
Because we actually can work together, because this is what we see.
And there's a personal element. So there's a thing where you know you can see Paul feeling, I can't work with this guy. I can't. I just can't do it. It's not I need to change my mind on something. This is just, I just can't work with him.
I cannot trust him.
Exactly. Yeah. Blessings to you. Blessings to you and John Mark, but I've got to go my own way. Yeah. Farewell. Exactly.
Yeah. As long as the values, Christian values, are uplifted, and as long as we do it through with and through Christ.
Well, but you know, you mentioned why this story is included, and I'm glad that it is, because it shows that the book of Acts is not a fairy tale.
Yeah. No.
The book of Acts is not this thing, and then they went to this mountaintop and all of the people were... This is a real story that happened with real people that had real problems, and I love that about the book of Acts, and there's so much we can
do. Even the fact that it's included after the council, because if the council would result in this, it would have been a disaster.
Oh, wow,
But then he says, but look, let me tell you, it's okay to have disagreements.
Yeah.
It's absolute, and we can part ways. But we are praising God that the church remains in unity.
The mission still is the same.
The mission is the same.
Absolutely.
So we can have different views. We have different perspectives. Let's just disagree. We have different worship styles. That's why we have different churches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it amazing?
Absolutely.
But if you say their way of worship is wrong.
Yes. Right. If we try and institutionalize what is a personal preference, then we are going down a dangerous and dark road that is not the way of Jesus.
And this is what we saw here. I'm so glad we had this study. Okay, thank you very much. I was truly, truly blessed. And thank you, Diego. Thank you, Claudia. And thank you for so much for joining us. And I hope you were blessed as well. Wherever you are on your walk with Jesus today, remember to stay connected with him in your everyday life and also here on Cross Connection Acts.